Bet you're all wondering what the tent's for. That comes later. Am I on lapel, John?
Awesome. Fabulous.
Okay. There is so much in this reading, so I hope you're up for some questions, and I hope you're up for a bit of sharing. Sharing in families, as well as sharing out loud. So I really encourage you, get involved. After the amazing events, when the Lord triumphed on Mount Carmel, over the false god Baal, Elijah runs off. It's really weird. He just runs off, as if the contest had been lost. So Mike, you're ready with the mic. Easy question to begin with. Why does Elijah run off? He runs off after the Lord's incredible victory. Why does he do that? It's going to be a long morning. No, go for it.
Because Queen Jezebel wanted to kill him.
Yes, Queen Jezebel wants to kill him. Thank you. Elijah's afraid. And I just want to stop there this minute with afraid. So much of this reading only takes place because Elijah's afraid. So we're gently going to explore fear. Okay? Just for a couple of minutes. So I want you to be brave wherever you're sat. And if you're sat on your own, I encourage you to shuffle near someone. And I want you to say to the person next to you anything that makes you afraid. Please, please, my friends, try not to be super spiritual, because every one of us have things which we are fearful of. Sometimes they fly around in the summer over your picnic. Or whatever it might be. So I'm going to give you 1 minute. Where you sat. If you've got kids, guys, please chat to your kids about it. What are they afraid of? And then let's try and put it in context. What are you afraid of? 1 minute. Make sure everyone has a chance to share. Okay, time is up. Time is up. Let me share a little myself. I'll share exactly what I've just shared with Richard down here. I'm really awful with spiders. Really, really awful with spiders. A big spider went across our carpet this week, and Aaron told me off for being so stupid with the noise that came out from me. And I was getting very stressy because they were so slow to get the cup to catch it in. And I knew it was going to go... Thankfully, they did catch it and lobbed it outside. It's probably back in again now with the open doors and the rest of it. So I blame that on Doctor Who and the John Pertwee episode in the early 1970s and giant spiders myself. Okay, Mike with the mic. Please, can you go around just a few? Keep it really short. If you can, what are you afraid of and why? Okay, we'll just have perhaps three people. Start with Joe, Mike. That's cool.
I'm going to start with my own.
Oh, go for it, yeah?
Dead birds.
What was that?
Dead birds.
Oh, dead birds.
Lying on the ground. Absolutely.
Don't go on the south lawn then. Seriously. A magpie copped it yesterday. Okay. Do not go on the south lawn.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you.
That's all right.
I'm scared of spiders, but I'm more scared of having seen a spider than not knowing where it is.
Yes. Yeah, get that totally. That was my fear the other day, yeah.
Yes, I'm afraid of catching COVID. I'm afraid of catching COVID.
Oh, COVID. Bless you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that. I think that's been one of the biggest fears that people have experienced. So bless you for sharing that, fear of catching COVID. Thank you for articulating that. I'm glad you have. Anyone else want to share? After that, it might seem that yours is trivial, but please share it. Everybody's fear is very real.
School, because of the exams.
Oh, exams. Yeah, okay. Fair dues, really. I can understand that. Any more for any more? Oh, go on. We'll go for one more.
I have a fear of flying. My opinion is flying's for the birds.
Fear of flying. Interesting. I think it was Aretha Franklin, the famous singer, who virtually never flew. She was terrified of flying, and she'd either go by large ship or very long journeys across land. But she was terrified of flying. Fear's an interesting thing, but you can't rationalise it. It is what it is. What makes one person afraid won't make another afraid. Now, Elijah's fear... Well, should have shown that one, but there you go. Elijah's fear is very real. It's very real. Don't lose sight of who Jezebel was. She had killed already many of the Lord's prophets. When Jezebel says, make no doubt, I'll kill you by tomorrow night, she pretty much meant it. She was pretty awful. But the question should therefore be, what should Elijah have done? Because I don't believe for one minute that the Lord wanted Elijah to leg it off south. And I'll show you just how far south he went. So what do you think the response should have been? Mike, let's see if we can get anyone. What do you think the response should have been? This is the obvious one from Sunday school mornings. So what do you think the response should be?
Standing up.
Stand up, good. Yep, stand firm. What else? Go on, Helen over there has got a hand.
I think perhaps he should have told God about it and asked for his help.
Too right. You know, he's just seen this incredible thing, and I understand after spiritual highs come lows. Most of us will know about that, but I agree with you. He should have told God about it. He should have asked God to help him. And I just want to say now, remember, whenever you're afraid, whether it's me with the spider, and then wondering where it is, as Joe talks about, or others of you, God can help you. So we're just going to stop. Let's just stop, and I'm just going to pray about fear, and that we would know God's presence with us. So let's just pray. Father, I thank you that your word says that your perfect love drives out fear. And yet we recognize fears when things arise and some things trouble us in our day-to-day life. Father, help us to come to you and to offer our fears whenever they arise. And I pray, Lord, that by your Spirit, if there's anyone this morning who's really afraid of something, that you would bring them your perfect peace. Amen. Okay, I'm going to get a bit more of the response from this. We sometimes do this at mini marks. So instead, we're going to go, Amen. Can you do that? Amen. We'll do that again a bit later. So I'll see if you've cottoned on to that. That is good. Elijah runs away, and I've already said he runs away a very long way. I'm not very good with my slides this morning. He runs a very long way. He runs about 100 miles. He's in Jezreel. He goes from the north of Israel, actually into Judah. He ends up at Beersheba. That's 100 miles on foot. That's an incredible distance. And of course, his journey hasn't finished yet. So he arrives. He's really tired. He's not in a good way. He says something when he prays. It's a bit difficult to call this a prayer, but he says something really, really hard. Can anyone remember what he said? Because this tells you how bad it is. Anybody remember? I think Dietrich's having a go there. See if Dietrich's.
He prayed, Lord, please, and I would rather die now because I don't know.
That's more than good enough. Thank you so much. He prays, I've had enough, I want to die. That is really low. That is really low. God honors our desperate prayers. I don't know if anybody has ever felt as low as that. I hope not. But if you have, I want you to know that God hears every prayer that we utter. And God hasn't finished with Elijah. In fact, he's got some new stuff for Elijah. But what does the Lord do in response? It's something incredibly beautiful. Can anybody tell me? Sorry, Mike. What does the Lord do in response to Elijah's prayer? Yeah, now how does he feed him though? He feeds him in an unusual way. Actually, anybody else? Sorry, Nigel. Yeah, go to Ian or to Zoe. How does he feed him? It's really unusual. He does.
Yeah, he sends an angel, and then the angel wakes him up, and he's got bread and water outside the gate.
It is. It's extraordinary. He sends an angel, and this angel feeds him with bread and water. Now, the Lord must have been really frustrated with Elijah. You know, there's work to be done in Israel, and Elijah's legged it. But notice how gently the Lord treats Elijah. He helps him. He sustains him. Why? Because he loves him. My friends, when you feel low, when you give those prayers to God, remember he loves you. He loves you so much, and he'll give you what you need. In fact, the angel comes back twice, because Elijah nods off, and the angel feeds him again, and then the angel says, you've got to go on a journey. And he does. He goes on a journey, 40 days and 40 nights, to Mount Horeb. Now, every time you see the word 40 in scripture, it's one of those numbers to log. Typically 40, when it's involved with any journey or any time period, it's a period of testing. It's a period of waiting on God. Can anyone give me any quick examples of 40s in the Bible, which are testing or waiting on God? There are a few, but anyone want to contribute? Yeah, Jackie down here, Robert over here. Go for it. Go for Jackie, yeah.
Jesus in the wilderness when yes. He was tempted.
Yeah, Jesus in the wilderness. 40 days, 40 nights without food or water before the devil comes. Robert over here, or is it the same ones?
Different one.
Different one, yeah. Go to Robert.
Noah and the flood.
Yeah, Noah and the flood. There's the 40 tied up in there as a period of time and waiting. There's 40 years of journeying in the wilderness for the Israelites. Just see 40. Whenever you see it, ask yourself the question. This is a time of waiting and testing. Now, Mount Horeb might not seem very familiar. Where else do we come across Mount Horeb in the Bible? And this is really, really, really important. Does anybody know the other name for Mount Horeb? It's a really important one. Go for it. Wow. Can we give him a round of applause? Awesome, Dietrich. Mount Horeb is another name for Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai is where Moses received the Ten Commandments and the law. This is a very, very significant mountain in the history of Israel. Fascinating. Really important. He meets with the Lord. Elijah has had a bit of time to think about what's going on. He's journeyed from Jezreel to Beersheba, Beersheba to Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai. The Lord asks him a question. What are you doing here? Which to me says, I'm not really expecting you here. What are you doing here? Look at his response. I've worked very hard for the Lord God of the heavens, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, killed your prophets. Only I am left. And now they're trying to kill me too. Okay, however long his journey has been, he hasn't moved, has he? What he felt when he left is pretty much what he feels now. Okay, can we describe how he's feeling? Young and old, can we describe how he's feeling? Come on, guys, help Mike out. Let's have some more different hands. The teacher in me wants to stare at those who haven't answered a question yet. Oh, there's one here who hasn't answered a question. This is cool. No, sorry, Tim here. Tim here, sorry.
Full of self-pity.
Full of self-pity, absolutely. Down the back there was someone with a hand up. Definitely saw someone down there. Yeah, go for it. Go for it, Peter.
Well, quite simply feeling pretty low.
Yeah, he's low. Very low. Thank you, Peter. Anyone else?
Desperate.
Tired. Sorry, Mike. Depressed. Given up.
Sad.
Sad. Frustrated. Again, think about what the Lord does. The Lord doesn't tell him off. For all the time that he hasn't moved spiritually, this is what he was like when Jezebel said, you know, in the words of the Wizard of Oz, I'll get you, my little pretty. Sorry, I couldn't resist. You know, Jezebel says, I'm going to get you. Elijah's terrified, legs it. His attitude hasn't changed. Not a bit. But the Lord now is trying to help Elijah come out from himself. He says, stand before me on the mountain. He sends a violent wind. The wind shakes the mountain, rocks fall off. But but God is not in the wind. He sends a violent earthquake on Mount Horeb. Extraordinary event. Elijah must have been terrified, but God is not in the earthquake. And then he sends an incredible fire. Fire's a frightening thing. How often have we seen that in the last couple of weeks? Think about those poor communities that have lost their houses. Fire is a terrifying thing. God's not in the fire. And finally we get the gentle whisper. But the question I want to ask you is, why the violent wind first? And the earthquake and the fire. What is God's purpose? What is God's purpose? Because we take it for granted. I always think of the music group, Earth, Wind and Fire. But earthquake, wind, fire, what's the point? God had a point. You know, God's not showing off. God has a point. Does anybody have an idea what you think the point is? And obviously whatever you're suggesting is as good probably as I've got written down here, because we don't know the mind of God and it doesn't say, but I think we can hazard a guess. Why do you think God does this? Any guesses? Let's go for it. Let's explore this scripture as the people of God. It's really interesting. Why? What's the point?
God is in silence.
God is in the silence. Certainly is. Yep, good stuff. Helen?
I think one might have expected God to sort of wreak terrible vengeance and judgment on Jezebel through violent wind, earthquake, fire, etc. But God wanted to point out that that's not his way.
Fabulous, thank you. Any other thoughts? Both of what's been shared before, I have no problem agreeing with. Absolutely. Jo?
I wonder whether the violent wind and the earthquake and the fire could be for more people would have seen it, and it would be possibly other people that saw that bit. But the gentle whisper was intimate and was just for him. And yeah, it was like God coming and saying, "I'm actually here for you as a person."
Yeah, that's certainly true. I believe that, absolutely. Let me offer my thoughts. Actually, Dietrich, you've got your hand up. Go on, ask Dietrich.
If God shows off his, well, not show off, and shows Elijah his power, then Elijah's not going to be so scared that he's going to die, because then he knows God's going to protect him.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. What I'd like to say on this is, on Mount Carmel, where we started, God acts spectacularly. You get the most amazing fire you ever did see out from heaven. Whoosh! Most incredible. And it's actually followed by a huge rainstorm, although we didn't have that last week. But nothing happens when Jezebel makes the threat. And my gut feeling is I tend to line up a bit with Helen here. I wonder whether God is just desperate for some spectacular act to get rid of Jezebel, but God actually plays the long game. You and I might pray to God for something, but actually often what God's planning is going to take some time. We might like something to be sorted now, but it might take a very long time. But I think fundamental to all of this, God wanted Elijah to know, "I'm with you." As Joe said, "I'm with you. I'm still with you." This all happens. The Lord asks Elijah again, "Why are you here, Elijah?" And now this time you really expect a different answer. But did you hear it from the reading? He says the same thing. In fact, virtually word for word, he says the same thing. The Lord has spoken to him personally, and he still says, "Oh, all the prophets have been killed and the altars have been torn down and I'm the only one left." He hasn't moved. It's incredible. But I don't know about you, I sometimes think, well, maybe if I'd been around Jesus and I'd seen all the miracles, then my heart would be changed. But Jesus did say often, when he was asked for another miracle, you know, the greatest miracle will be the resurrection. And yet how many people will not believe that? Sometimes we look for the big thing. But actually in our ongoing life, we need to know God with us. But God's still patient. And what he does do now is quite extraordinary, but I'll get to that in a minute. I want you to know this morning, and it's a time to pray again in a second, that the Lord is with you, even if you don't see him, even if you don't feel him, even if you don't hear from him. The Holy Spirit is with you. Our feelings go up and down. Some days I'm full of energy, some days I'm tired. Elijah was up the spiritual mountain. Wow, it all happened. Then he's very much at a low point. But God's still with him. And I want you to know that God is always with you. When you feel low, he's with you. So what we're going to do now is we're just going to have a minute where you are with the people that you're with, whether it's your kids, your family, somebody alongside. And I just want you, if you feel able to, and I really want to encourage you to, if you can just say one thing to one person, and then if the other person can briefly pray for them, and then swap it. Can you pray for me and my job, let's say? Don't say any more. Can you pray for me and my family? I'm not sleeping well. I've got a big decision to make this week. So let's not have big sharing, but as brothers and sisters in Christ, can we pray for each other? Just turn to the person next to you who you were sharing about fears. Offer one thing, really, really short. Other person, pray. Literally, 10, 15 seconds. Swap it over. I'm only going to give you about a minute and a half. Let's go for it. Okay, I'm going to count to three, and then we're going to do the big amen again, okay? So one, two, three, amen. Awesome, good stuff. Right, the Lord knows Elijah's struggling. He wants to help Elijah continue his work. So actually, he changes some of what Elijah needs to do. It's quite extraordinary here. There's a change that's going on with his calling. Anoint Hazael, king of Assyria. Anoint Jehu, king of Israel. But then there's a third one. And the third one is so important. Because he feels he's on his own. I'm the only one left. What's the third thing the Lord tells Elijah to do? Mike, can you go with the mic for one of the last times? Bless you. What's the third thing? It's so important. Think what our sermon series is all about. Go on, lady over there, go for it. Yeah.
Anoint Elisha.
Thank you. Anoint Elisha to replace you as prophet. This is really important. There's an end point for Elijah. You see, Elijah's reached the stage where he needs to know there's an end point to this. And the Lord's picked it up, and the Lord makes his plans. Let me tell you the sad news. Elijah doesn't do what he was told at all, actually. If you read scripture, Elijah does take on Elisha, but he never anoints him. The Lord anoints him, but Elijah never anoints him. And as far as we know from scripture, it's Elisha who anoints Hazael, and Elisha who anoints Jehu. Elijah doesn't do any of it. And the saddest thing about this reading is Elijah doesn't appear changed at all. He picks up Elisha for the ride, but he doesn't follow through. And that really is because Elijah's lost sight of his calling. He's lost sight of who he's meant to be. Next week, we'll move to Elisha. But it's time for a tent. Because I want to talk about how we keep going when life gets tough. So my plan this week was to set up a tent in front of you. And none of you seem to have any ridge tents, but never mind. We are going to improvise this morning. We are going to construct our own tent. I need a couple of younger helpers, because I physically do not have enough hands to do this. So, Dietrich, but I need about four, I reckon. Dietrich, can we have any more? I need some more helpers. This will not work. Yeah, Moya, I need some more. Any more helpers? Any more? Yeah, come on. Yeah, wonderful. Okay, aren't you stars? So what we're going to do is we're going to make a tent, and you're going to help me make a tent. And as part of this illustration, we're going to explain what each bit is going to be. My tent is about our picture of our Christian life, okay? So when we've got a tent and it's upright and it's stable, then that's a really good Christian life. But we've all probably set up dodgy tents which aren't perhaps in the right soil, or we haven't pegged it in and it falls down. Well, I don't want my Christian life to fall down. So what we're going to do is we're going to build a tent. You up for that? Now, I think a tent needs three poles. Okay? It'll need three poles, my tent, hence a ridge tent was what I asked for. But we're going to build a pseudo ridge tent, okay? Three poles. And I wonder if we can remember after today the poles that we need. Pole number one is going to be a chair. So, can you take a chair? Max, do you want to take the first chair? Pick it up, Max. You're good and strong. Set it in the middle for us, right in the middle. Excuse me, guys, you're all going to be needed in a minute. Max, you can be king of the chair. Have a seat. Okay. Chair, first of all, is going to be our first pole. Hello. Thank you for joining us. Pole number one we need in the Christian life is commitment. Elijah runs away when Jezebel threatens him. But we need to stick with what God is asking us to do. If we do that, that'll help us. Now, can we make a tent with that? Let's have some fun. Guys, can you take a corner each of this, the other four of you? We can pretend Max is in the tent. So let's fold this out. One of you each grab a corner. Something, corner there, need to come around here, Jordan. Oh no, you've got the corner there. Come around. Yep, perfect. Okay, can we make a tent out of this? Let's just see. Try it on Max, please. Sorry, Max, I'm sure you won't mind. Lift it over his head. Yeah, and keep going, because we need it fully over him. And keep going, and keep going. And dump. That is not going to work as a tent. Okay, a complete failure. Commitment alone will not sustain your life. Up you get, Max. Okay, chair turns round. We need another tent pole, which surprisingly enough is going to be another chair. So, Moya, do you want to have a sit on this chair? Can I just move it into the centre? Excuse me, Max. Moya, have a seat. Kids, do you want to just gather around the back of the chair? Gather around the back so we can all see Moya sat in the chair. Commitment number one, courage number two. Elijah lacked the courage to stay in Jezreel. And you and I might be fearful too. Courage is a fascinating thing. We've already said we can pray. God can help us to overcome our fears. It was Nelson Mandela who famously said, "I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it." The brave man or woman is not the one who doesn't feel afraid, but the one who conquers the fear. I think that's a brilliant quote. Our fears are real. The threat to Elijah was very, very real. But it's about conquering the fear by placing our trust in God. Right, let's see if we can make a tent now. Okay, Moya, do you want to stand up again? Now, I have been practicing, as you might expect. So what we're going to do now is we're going to put them that way around. So imagine you've got one pole, two pole. Will it work? I wonder. Kids, do you want to help me? Do you want to get the sheet? All of you grab an edge of the sheet. Grab an edge, grab an edge. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Lovely. Can you put it over both chairs? Keep going. Don't hurt yourself. Someone needs to go one side, some the other. Lift it up. 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 Okay. Put it over the side and put it over the other. And oh. Yeah. Well, you try. Let go, guys. Well, it's almost not bad, actually. But do you think that would last very long? Oh, another one. It ain't going to last very long, is it? Yeah, it's a bit saggy, isn't it? Yeah, and that's the point. If that is the tent of your life, that when the rain and the wind comes, it's going to go plop. It's absolutely no good whatsoever. So we're going to need the third pole. Can any of you spot a third pole? That. Oh, it's my Gandalf stick. Thank you. Do you want to bring that over? Now, I need somebody to hold this who's not done something yet. So it's quite long. Do the three of you that have not held something want to come out the front? And do you want to hold it like that? Three of you not? No, you've definitely been on one. Come on, the other two of you. Hold it. One in the middle as well. Fabulous. Now, in a ridge tent, which I'm trying to make, you have a ridge pole. Now, the ridge pole, I'm going to say this morning, is a clear call. We've had commitment. We've had courage. Clear call. Elijah has lost sight of his calling from God. What about you and me? Do you know who and what you are called to be? This is really, really important. You see, in life, a lot of people drift through life and they have no idea. No idea what they're meant to be. But can I tell you something really, really honestly? Your calling, for most of you, is to do what you're doing now to the best of your ability to show the love of Jesus. Your calling is not to have some special dog collar. Your calling is to be the best teacher, the best mum, the best granny, the best whatever you are, revealing the love of Jesus. That's your calling. And can I say to every one of you, you all have a calling. Every single one of you has a calling to be a disciple of Jesus, to be a son or daughter of the living God. And it doesn't matter whether you're old or young, you all have a calling to be the best son and daughter, to be the best friend. That's your calling. Okay, the question is, can we do something? Now, we know this is a bit naff, okay? So, oh, we shall see. It's going to be very interesting, kids. Okay, up you get, Max. The pole, the three of you. Can you lift the pole into the centre?
Yes, I can.
Lift the pole. Come this way. Can you lift it right into the centre for me?
I can get it from the shelf.
Oh, you know, I think you might struggle, Max. I tried that yesterday, which is why I've got all of you lot here. Can you put it right over the chair backs? No, not in the centre, over the chair backs. It's a ridge pole. Beautiful. Right, I'm now going to move that out, like so. Do you want to just move back to the side, guys? Have a look. Commitment, courage, clear call, hand in heart. Right, guys, I want you to get the cloth, get a corner each. Okay, hold on to it for a second, because I'm going to do something else. We need something to hold it down a little. So a couple of weights. Okay, what I want you to do, guys, is come over here and let's see if we can do this. Now, look at the side of it. So you guys come round. It's not quite. Come round. Yep, come round this way. Dietrich, come this way. Let's lift it. Yep, that's it. Let's lift it. And lift it. Now in the centre, I've marked the centre. There's a couple of pins if we can find them. Somewhere about there. Lay it down. Spread it back. That's nice. That's nice. How are we doing? Okay. And what I need is more this side. So can you steady that centre pole for me, Dietrich? Make sure it doesn't come out. I'm just going to pull it a bit further. Not quite in the centre. I'm going to lay it down a bit further. Oh, that pole's about to drop off. Put it down there. Okay, now let go. Let go. Let go. It's not as good as a proper tent, is it? But I tell you what, let go, Dietrich. Let go. I know. It looks good on this side, though. Now, let me just say to you. Let me just say, with what I've got, I don't think it looks bad. The point is, with you can't. We need, it needs to be a proper pole, doesn't it? But hey, you give it a good go. Commitment, courage, call. It is vital for us that we have all three. Without it, there'll be part of our life that sags. Without it, our life is in danger of collapsing. But with all three, your life and my life is in control. Yeah, we can't quite get there with those, can we? Because it hasn't quite gone down far enough. But never mind. It doesn't matter. Can we give these guys a round of applause? Do you want to sit down, guys? And what I'm going to do is I want to pray for all of us now. So I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you to have courage, for you to have commitment, for you to have a clear call. And then we'll say the big amen, all right? Father God, I want to thank you for the story of Elijah and the fact that, Lord, you never gave up on Elijah, even though Elijah never really got it. You never gave up on him, and you never give up on us. Father, I pray today that you would stir our spirits, that we would be committed to following you, whatever comes our way. That we would have courage when we're afraid to face what comes our way. And Lord, may we know that every single one of us is called by you to bring your good news to those around us. And we all said, Amen. Thank you. And I will dismantle it now.